Let's begin on Daf Lamed Aleph from an Aleph with Gufa. Let's see if we can find Gufa. I guess if you Omar Rabbi Oven. How would you identify that? What?
About probably 20 lines down.
20 lines down from the top?
Yeah.
I don't know if that helps anybody. If you have like 20 minutes to count down 20 lines down, just kidding. It's about, let's say, halfway down, a little bit more than halfway down. Gufa. Omar Rabbi Oven, Hazorek Chetz Mitchilas Arba. With Sof Arba, Vikora Shirayim Balichoso Potter. This is the sugya of Kimle B'Drabamine. And Rabbi Ovin adds a new dimension to this sugya, which is called Akira Tzorech Hanochahi. This new principle is going to justify the conclusion that if during the flight of the arrow it damages someone's property, then the Zorek does not pay damages because he is violating the Isur of Havaras Dalet Amos Bishus Arabim and he's Chayiv Misa. Again, even though the Chayiv Misa is only clinched when the arrow lands, that's called Shas Hanocha, but nevertheless the Akir itself is Lutzorek Hanocha, and therefore any damages and any Chayiv Mamon that he incurs during the course of the flight of the arrow from the Akir to Lanocha is going to be completely rescinded by the Kimlei of the Rabbine. That's called Akira Tzorech Hanocha. Now, we're going to try to understand the machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos with regard to Shabbos. Now, if you have page Resh Ches, and if you don't, I think there should be a copy somewhere. Yeah. I have an extra copy here.
There's a copy here.
Okay, great. There's an extra copy here. So hopefully you'll see a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. Okay then? This machlokas appears not here in Ksuvis, but rather in Bava Kamma. And the question is, Mekalkel B'Shabbos, does the principle of Kimlei B'Rabbine apply? Rashi in Masechta Bava Kamma on Daf Lamed Hey is of the opinion that we look at the Avera itself, and the Avera per se is a violation of the Shabbos, and therefore he's potter from Tashlumin. And Rashi equates the case of Mekalkel with the case of Chayve Mises Shogigin. Now, what is Chayve Mises Shogigin? As he is performing a violation of a cardinal sin, which he performs Bishoge, he incurs a Chiv Mama. And Chayiv Misa Shogegin tells me that even though he's a Shogeg on the Chayiv Misa, so Bezdin is not going to put him to death, nevertheless, we apply the principle of Kimlei B'Drabamine. And that means that we look at the Avera per se, we're not looking at the punishment for the Avera because he's a Shogeg, and that Avera, since it's a Chayiv Misa, again, we're defining the Avera in abstract terms, therefore, we apply Kimlei B'Drabamine.
Well, does that mean that what you're saying is that if he was the Shogay,
he didn't know it was Shabbos, let's say, right?
Yeah, the Shogay, if the Shogay was on this more Shver Avera, but then he also did a Mezid, which was a Kal compared to it, that the Kal would be wiped out because it's Kimlei B'Drabamine, and he still wouldn't get anything
if he violates the Shabbos and he's not aware of the fact that it's Shabbos,
right,
and while he's violating the Shabbos he incurs a Chiyuv Mamon, let's say destroys someone's property,
right,
he will not pay for that property under the principle called Chayvei Mises Shogegin Potter. And Rashi takes that case and he applies it to Mekalkel B'Shabbos. that if a person does a malach on Shabbos in a kilkul, and obviously he's not going to be punished for that because makalkul is potur, Rashi says, if at the moment that he implements this chiyuv, this violation of Shabbos, he also destroyed someone's property, he does not pay damages because the avera per se is an avera of Shabbos. Tosus disagrees. And Tosus says that you cannot equate the cases of Shogeg and Mekalkel. In the case of Shogeg, he is in violation of Malacha Shabbos. There's a full-fledged Malacha. And the Aver is an Aver Viser Malacha Shabbos. Not so in the case of Mekalkel. Mekalkel is not an Aver Shabbos. Now, if we take a look at our Sugya says that the reason why he's potter for Shirayim, this is a case that you missed in the first minute that we started. We're talking about a case where he is Zorek Echetz Mitrilas Dalet Atzof Dalet, and during the flight of the Chetz, it destroys someone's Shirayim. And the Gemara says that he's potter. Why is he potter? He's potter because of a logic, a principle called Akira Tzorek Hanocha. So the question that we want to raise here is, why does the Gemara, that's Rabbi Ovin, need to activate this principle of Akira Tzorech Hanocha? Drop this principle. Forget about Akira Tzorech Hanocha. Typically, why not just say the following, that Kriyas Ashirayim itself is a Melech HaShabbos. Again, we're not sure what Melech, let's call it Kriya, right? Melech HaShkorea. Now you'll of course counter argue, you'll say, well, the Kriya itself is a Melech, but it's a Mekalkel. Well, Rashi is of the opinion in Masechta Bava Kama that a Meleches Shabbos Bekilkel does not generate a Chiyuv Mamon, and we apply the principle of Chayvei Mises Shogegin and Kim Lei B'Derabimine. So forget about the Akira. Let's leave out the Akira. Let's just talk about the Kriya itself. The ripping of the garment is a violation of Shabbos, and as he's violating the Shabbos through Kriya, he's also incurring a Chiyuv Mazik to pay damages and compensate the person who owns the Shirayim. So now he's not going to pay compensation for the Shirayim for the reason of Meleches Korea. And even though you'll argue, well, Meleches Korea in this case is a kilkul, the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Chof that you're only chayim for Meleches Korea if it's an almanas litfar,
right.
For example, you rip certain knots in order to replace them in a more beautiful way. Here, clearly, he's just ripping someone's shirayim. It's not almanas litake, it is kilkul. But nevertheless, Rashi is of the opinion that kimlei rami applies even in a case of kilkul. So what we want to embark upon now in a study of the paragraph called Yesh Li Yashev on page Reishches is to try to defend Rashi and understand why the Meleches Korea itself in this case would not be sufficient to activate the principle of Kim Lei B'Derabimine.
I'm sorry, I may have missed it, but what is the Rabimine?
How are you feeling, by the way? I forgot.
What is the Rabimine? What is the punishment for Kilkul according to Rashi in that case of Korea?
Well, it's an avera of misa. Again, we're not going to give him the punishment of misa, just like in the case of Shogeg. But nevertheless, if the avera per se is an avera of misa, we call it a cardinal sin of violating Melech HaShabbos. That itself knocks off any chiyuv mamon. That's Rashi Shita in Bava Kama. So therefore, in this case where he shoots a chetz and he rips somebody's shirayim, the very split second that he rips his shirayim, he's violating a Melech HaShabbos, and he's also incurring a chiyuv damages. Well, the chiyuv damages is not collectible because of the principle of Kim Lei B'Derabimine. Even though he's not going to be punished for this, it's a case of kilkul.
Is Rashi Shita that the kilkul there is a diraisa? It's not a drabbanan. That's a
Right, we're not dealing with the Rabbanans now. You know, we're dealing with the Doraisas. So let's understand a certain Rashi. This is a very famous Rashi. The Minchas Chinuch has a long discussion about this Rashi on the Mishnah in Klal Gadol. You know, the Mishnah of the Melachos. Rashi says on the Mishnah says that Korea, which is listed as one of the 39 Melachos, is only Almanas Litfar. And Rashi says something very strange, which, how shall I say, aroused the curiosity of many of the Mefarshim. Rashi says that if he was Koreh Shalom Manas Litvar, Lo Havi B'Mishkan. In other words, in the Mishkan, when they did Kriya, what they did was they ripped, you know, they had to make the big day kahuna, and they would rip those knots in order to improve the them.
You're saying it's not one of the
So Rashi says that Koresh Allah Manas Litvar was not in the Mishkan.
Right.
And the question is that the pshat in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that you need Koreh Manas Litvar because otherwise it's Makalkel. And that's how all the Rishonim understood it. Rashi is the exception. And he says that the reason why Koreh Shalom and Manas Litvar is Patur is because Lo Havi B'Mishkan.
Means he makes it a Tolada?
Oh, so it goes beyond that. Not that it's a Tolada, but, again, in the language of the Minchas Chinuch, Ein Zu Melacha Klal. What Rashi wants to accomplish is that you can talk about Melacha under two categories. You can talk about Tzura Samalacha, and you can talk about Tikkun as opposed to Kilkul. And the difference is as follows. In the case of Tikkun as opposed to Kilkul, what we're saying is we have the Tzuras HaMalacha. Now we have to ask a second question. Is this Malacha constructive or is it not? But there's a more fundamental question, and that's the Tzuras HaMalacha. Now, in order to determine the Tzura of any of the 39 Malachas, we go back to what? What's that paradigm? The Mishkan. And what Rashi wants to tell us here is that in the case of Koreh Shalom and Manas Litvar, if I say in Yiddish, does hasten can kriya, that's not a kriya at all. That's not what the Tzuras HaMalacha is. Kriya means to prepare for a tfira. If it doesn't prepare for a tfira, that's not kriya as far as Melecha Shabbos is concerned. You can call it Koreh in other contexts, but not in Melecha Shabbos. Why? Because what defines Melecha Shabbos and its Tzura? It's the Mishkan. And therefore, Koreh Shalom Manas Litvar, that's not Makalkel. I mean, again, it's Makalkel, there's no question about it, but it's much more fundamentally lacking or deficient than just calling it Makalkel. Makalkel means that you have a Tzuras HaMalacha, you have a Malacha, you need what's called Meleches Machsheves. Meleches Machsheves sets up all sorts of conditions as to how and when you're chayev for Melecha Shabbos. There are all sorts of kavanos that you have to have in mind. For example, Rabbi Shimon says Melech Shem Tzvichel and Gufa is part of because of Melechas Machsheves. We can give many examples of a p'tur of Melechas Machsheves. But Rabbi Shimon, when he says that Melech Shem Tzvichel and Gufa is part of, he's not telling you that it's not even a Tzuras HaMalacha. It's nothing. That's not what he's saying. He's admitting it's a Tzuras HaMalacha. It's just that your kavana was not for gufa, but for something else, right? You don't want to dig this hole in order to plant in the hole. You want to dig this hole in order to use the afar. Rashi wants to tell us a gevaldige chiddush, and it's going to have a tremendous implication on Kimlei to the Rabbamina. Rashi is going to tell us that if you're Korea in a way that is not preparing for tefira, that's not the kriya that was included in the Mishnah's list of 39 malachas, because it wasn't in the Mishkan. That kriya is not the tzuras hakriya that was prohibited under Malachas Koreah. It's not just Mekalkil. Again, Rashi's not denying that in the case of somebody ripping someone else's garments, it's Mekalkil, that's for sure. But Rashi wants to tell us that this would not be comparable to what we call Chayvei Mises Shogegin. In the case of Chayvei Mises Shogegin, you're not going to pay damages because you're involved in a Chiyuv Misa. You did a Maisa Vera, which would generate a Chiyuv Misa, except that we have a condition that wasn't fulfilled. He didn't have the full intention. Then we say that the Avera per se is a violation which knocks off a Chiyuv Tashlumei Mamon, that's called Kim Levin Rabmine. Rashi wants to tell you that in the case of Koreah on Shabbos, if it wasn't Almanas Litvar, that's not an Aver at all. It doesn't have a Shem Malacha. And therefore, we would not apply the principle of Kim Levin Rabmine. That's why our Sugi Rabbi Ovin, in order to apply the principle of Kim Levin Rabmine, that he doesn't have to pay damage, has to invoke the principle of Akira Litzorech Hanocha, that the Akir itself is part of the Avera Machayeves. And since at the moment of the Akira, he set into process a Maisa, which will ultimately bring to a violation of Shabbos, that process, once set in motion, is the beginning of the Avera. And if it's the beginning of the Avera, we're going to apply the principle of Kim Levi the Rab Mine. But it's not because of Malechas Korea, because as Rashi says it, even though Chaybe Misa Shogigin and a Makalkel are equivalent, that's only a Makalkel where there was a Tzuras HaMalacha. But in the case of Tofer, of Korea, if it was Shalom and As Litvar, Lo Chashiv Malacha Klal, it doesn't have the Tzura Malacha, and therefore it cannot in any way be considered as a Maisa Vera, which would undermine the Chiyuv Mamon. So this justifies the fact that the only Malacha we can talk about here as far as Kimlei Ben Rabin is Malechas Hotzah. We can't talk about Malechas Korea. We're going to soon see that Rashi contradicts himself elsewhere in a different sugya, but we'll get to that in just a minute. Before we get to that, let's just point out that the definition here of Kim Levi the Rabine is that you began a Maisa Avera. The Chiddush of Rabbi Oven is called Litzorech. Litzorech means that even though you haven't completed the Maisa Avera, and you would logically argue that it's only when you complete the Maisa Avera and you generate a Chiyuv Gavra, that's when we could apply Kim Levi the Rabine and knock off a Chiyuv Mamon. But if the Chiyuv Mamon was already set in stone before you finished the Malacha, before you incurred a Chiyuv Gavra, which means Hanacha, then we can't knock off the Chiyuv Mamon. The Chiyuv Mamon was already set in stone at the moment of Kriyas Hashirayim. So the Chiddush of Rabbi Oven is that no, the Akira is already the beginning of the Avera of Maleches Hotzah. And any Chiyuv Mamon that overlaps or is synchronized with that process of a Malacha that starts with Akira and ends with Hanocha, even though the Chovas Gavra has not yet come into existence, that Chovas Mamon is going to be completely removed by Kim Levi the Rabbin. And that Chiddush applies to Maleches Hotzah in a very unique way, because the Akira itself is Litzorech. Is Litzorech Hanocha.
It doesn't come back, even though you didn't finish the Malacha.
Only on the condition that you finish the Malacha. Correct. Yeah, you're right, Alan. If he doesn't finish the Malacha, then there's no Avera of Hotzah. What I'm just saying is that we have an Avera here that's made up of parts, of segments. And Rabbi Oven's breakthrough is that once the Avera has begun, if and when it's completed, even the first segment, even the Shlav Aleph, if you could call it, of Akira, is an integral part of the Avera. And once the Avera is set into motion, then we apply Kim Levi the Rabine from the moment of T1 until T2, from the moment of Akira until the Hanocha, and anything in between is knocked off by Kim Levi the Rabine.
And if T2 never occurs, then you still don't get the Kim Levi.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's still
I'll give you an example. Let me ask you, how many people in the room, again, if you're willing to admit it, will open up a box of cereal on Shabbos?
A box of cereal?
To rip it open. It's totally closed.
Yeah.
You do. Now, I might ask you the following question. Isn't that Maleches Korea? So you'll answer, it's only Makalkel. Well, I'm not sure it's Makalkel, but let's say you rip it open in a way that it's Makalkel. Okay, wonderful. So it's Makalkel. But why isn't it Asur, Bitoras, and Isur Drabonon? Meaning that Makalkel is what's called Pater Aval Asur. What do I mean Aval Asur? It's Asur Min Rabonon. And that's true in general. Whenever the Torah has a requirement of Maleches Machsheves, and you didn't fulfill that requirement, we say it's Pater Aval Asur. What about this case? Why don't we say that this should be Osir? Again, it's a Korea of that's Makalkel. I'm gonna push it, rip it into shreds, right? But I'm still ripping it.
Related to Maisa Akila.
No. Forget about Akila. I'm just asking you to clarify this Rashi. Rashi says that what is Maleches Korea? It's got to be Almanas Litvar.
Right.
If it's not Almanas Litvar, then it wasn't in the Mishkan. And what we're adding to embellish this Rashi conceptually is that Rashi's telling you it's not even a Tzuras HaMalacha.
Right.
When do we say that something is potter avalos? If you have the tzuras amalacha, you implement it, and you're lacking the condition of kavana, or it's makalkal and it's not metaken, and so forth and so on, then the rabbanon say potter avalos. They say it's also the rabbanon because you did and you implemented a tzuras amalacha. But if what I'm doing is not even a tzuras amalacha,
because you ripped it in straight.
Because you ripped it without any intention to re-sew it. It doesn't prepare. You know. In other words, the Rashi is offering us, based on Mishkan, a new definition of Korea. Korea means preparing for Tefira. If you're not preparing for Tefira, that's not a Tzuras Kriya. And that could have tremendous implications as far as the Rabbanan is concerned. Okay, let's go on. Where does Rashi contradict himself? This is a Rashi in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis.
Does that mean he has to have the kavana that he is going to be tofer, or is it just he made it in such a way that it's possible to be tofer?
Right. It probably means that the kriya itself has to look like a kriya for the sake of tefira.
In other words,
forget about his kavana. Let's look at the kriya itself. He's just ripping up shirayim. It's not a case where he's taking out stitches so that because these stitches are crooked,
So that would also remove many materials from the problem. Because many of them.
Excellent. Wow. You were mechavi to the Magen Avraham. I think the Magen Avraham comes up with this chiddush. I'm not sure. Maybe it wasn't the Magen Avraham. But anyway, the Magen Avraham says that we have to look into the Mishkan to decide what kind of materials you have. So let's say, for example, you have R, and you could rip the R. And is that considered Meleches Korea? So perhaps with this Rashi we could say that the Tzuras HaKriya in R is not something that lends itself to a Tefira. When you rip R, that's it. It's irreversible. And therefore, you could be more Mekil in the light of this Rashi, even on a Durabana level, even in terms of L'chadchila. I'm not here to pask, but I'm just telling you that might not be a Tzuras HaKriya. Again, where does Rashi contradict himself? That's what we're up to. Yeah? So Rashi, in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, writes the following. Korea potur mishum mekalkel v'eina melechas machshavos. This undermines everything we've been saying about Shitas Rashi. We said that Rashi holds that in the case of Koreh Shalom and As Litfar, like for example the case where he rips the shirayim when he shoots out the arrow, that's not a malach at all. Rashi is saying something totally different. Rashi is saying that Koreh, in a case of a kalkil, is a chisaron in maleches machsheves. He's not looking into the Mishkan. Now, we have to keep in mind that Rashi in Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, that Rashi where he says that the problem of Korea is that it's Mekalkel and it's not Meleches Machsheves, Rashi is entering into a very basic issue, which is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We said that if you dig up a hole and you're not interested in planting in the hole, Rabbi Shimon says you're potter. Why? Because it's a Melech Shein Tzricha Legufa. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayav for this. In other words, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that we look in every malach to see what your tachlis is, what your purpose is. We're not going to look and we're not going to restrict our analysis to the objective maisa and look at the maisa and see if it's a malacha, but rather we want to know what the tachlis of the maisa is. So if Shimon says, if your tachlis in digging this hole is not for Zriya, then you don't violate Meleches Koresh, that's called a Melech Shenet Zrich Legufa. In other words, what we have to do is, we have to look into the Mishkan, and we have to figure out when they did a Melecha, like for example, Koresh, and they dug holes in the ground, why would they have done such a Melecha? What was their purpose? And that purpose is going to define the Melecha as it was done in the Mishkan. In the case of Melech Shenet Zricha Legufa, he's not doing it the way they did it in the Mishkan, because he's doing it for an entirely different purpose. So Reb Shimon is willing to derive from the Mishkan not only the Tzuras HaMelech as it was done in the Mishkan, but the Tachlis HaMelech, the purpose for which the Melech was done in the Mishkan. Reb Yehuda rejects this approach. He understands that we're going to look into Mishkan and define the objective Suras HaMalacha. But we're not interested in comparing our Kavanah to the Kavanah that they had in the Mishkan. That's irrelevant. That's external to the Maisa Moloch itself. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds, and these words I would underline, Delo Mashkechinen Klal Alatachlis Shahoisa B'Mishkan. Again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the equation to Mishkan is a very limited equation to Mishkan. I mean, it's not limited, it's very far-reaching, but it does have a limitation to it. We're going to look into the Mishkan to define the Tzuras HaMalacha, but we're not going to look into the Mishkan to define the Tachlis of the Malacha. Lo Mashkechin and Klal al Tachlis Shahoysa la Malacha Zu B'Mishkan. Oh, that's the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. If this be the case, then that could shed an entirely different light on Rashi in Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph. Rashi is explaining, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why is Korea Potter in the case of Mekalkel? And Rashi wants to tell us that even though Rabbi Yehuda is not going to use Mishkan to decide the tachlis of the Malacha, hence Rabbi Yehuda is going to say Yechayev from Malacha Sheni Tzrich L'Gufa, but nevertheless Rabbi Yehuda agrees that one thing we will derive from the Mishkan, and that is that you need something that's creative. If the Malacha is not creative, rather it's destructive, then that's called Mekalkel, and that's not a Maleches Machsheves. So again, what forces Rashi to interpret on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis that the problem of Mekalkel is that it's not a Maleches Machsheves, and Rashi specifically addressing the case of Korea? Why didn't Rashi advocate in favor of saying that it's not done in the Mishkan? Well, the answer is that we're going according to Rabbi Yehuda over here, and Rabbi Yehuda has a very limited limud from Mishkan. He's only willing to derive from Mishkan certain things, but he's not going to describe the tachlis of the Mishkan. Comes along Rashi, and he says, wait a minute, don't go overboard. Don't come to the mistaken conclusion that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can completely nullify or ignore Malachas HaMishkan as was done in the Mishkan. Mishkan is not just to set up 39 Malachas, but Mishkan is also to set up 39 creative Malachas, so that Rabbi Yehuda could agree that in the case of Korea as a Mekalkel, it's a Chisaron in Malachas Machsheves. So that now we can say the following, that Rabbi Yehuda will look at the objective Maisa and compare it to the Mishkan in one context, relative to one issue, and that is it a Tikkun or is it a Mekalkel? If you go with Rav Shimon, who holds that we learn a heck of a lot more from the Mishkan than what Rav Yehuda is willing to grant, and therefore Rav Shimon will potter you up in a case of Malacha Sheni Tzrich L'Gufa because we're looking into the Mishkan to define the Tachlis HaMalacha, that's a whole different story. Now Rashi feels free, and this is the Rashi on the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel, to offer a whole different interpretation as to what we derive from Mishkan. And Rashi is going to say that if it's a tofer of Mekalkel, that's not to be derived from Mishkan. So that's what he writes here on the top of the left column of the Shabbos Ayin Gimel. Mashmalei the Rashi Mistomed the Mishnah is Aliva de Reb Shimon and Korei Al Manas Litvar according to Reb Shimon. If it's Shalom and Aslit, for it's Potur, and it would be Potur even if you would have it as a Tikkun. Let's say you would get some benefit from it. Now here we have to introduce the Sugya of Koreal Meso. Do you remember that Sugya? We had a long discussion about that Sugya right here in this room. Koreal Meso is a gigantic machlokas as to whether or not you chayav. The law is that we don't sew up a kriya. Again, I'm not going into all the details, we're not learning Hilchas Avelis here. But in certain cases, we don't sew up a kriya. So Korea, therefore, by definition, is not Almanas Litvar. And there's going to be one shita that says that Korea Shalom Almanas Litvar is Potter. And he's not Chayev in this case.
Yeah, but even if it's
Wait, Alan, you have to give me a minute because I'm going to lose my chesed. There's a very mathematical calculation over here. Okay. Oh. So now, we're going to have one opinion that's going to say, well, You know what? Koreal meso is a metaken. Why is it a taken? Because a mitzvah, by definition, is a tikkun. Let's accept that as axiomatic for our purposes. Anything that you do l'shem mitzvah is called a tikkun. The Torah says do it. And if the Torah requires kriya, that's a tikkun. Would he be chayav, therefore, for koreal meso on Shabbos? And the answer is that if you're going to analyze this question from the perspective of mekalkel, it's not going to be a mekalkel, hence it's metakin, hence he's going to be chayav. Rashi wants to tell you a gevaldig chiddush here, that even if it's metakin, you're not chayav. Why? Because it's tzuras hamalacha. From whence do we define and derive tzuras hamalacha? From Mishkan. And Rashi says that the koreal meso is not the tzuras akriya as it was done in the Mishkan. Let's read it inside, and then Alan, the floor is yours. He says, "Avol Shabbos Nafai in Gimel." Rashi understood that Koreal Menas Litvar is an absolute requirement, which means that in the absence of Al Menas Litvar, you're part of a Chol Inyan, even if it would be a Metaken. How could you have a Kriya Shalom Menas Litvar, which is Metaken? That would be the case of Koreal Meso. Is Mishum Hachi? Rashi wants to tell you that the reasoning of the Mishnah is not based on Mekalkel. It's not that we require a tikkun and therefore it has to be Almanas Litvar, because then you can come to the conclusion that if you had a Shalom Almanas Litvar that was a Metaken, you'd be Chayiv. Nay, Rashi wants to go much further than that. Rashi wants to tell you that if it's Shalom Almanas Litvar, then it's not the Tzuras HaMalach as it was done in Mishkan. And therefore, even if you'll be misaking from now until Mashiach Tzayit, that's irrelevant, because you didn't implement the Tzuras HaMalacha the way it was done in Mishkan. The Al Korchach Asya Ki Rabbi Shimon, the Sri Lan Loch Shen Tzrich Lagufa Potur. If Rashi is coming to the conclusion that a case of Shalom and As Litvar is Potur, that would make sense if you introduce the kavana element. What is his purpose? And his purpose is not to be tofer. If his purpose is not to be tofer, hence we can introduce the concept of Mishkan. And we're going to say that a tfira, which is not done for, I'm sorry, I keep saying tfira when I mean kriya, a kriya which is not done for the sake of tfira is not a meleches ha-mishkan. It's not done with the tzura as it was done in the Mishkan. Again, that all is predicated on Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that when we look at a melacha and we compare it to the Mishkan, we introduce his kavana. If we introduce his kavana, hence, two nafkaminas. Number one, melacha shein etzrich l'gufa patur. And number two, if you had a tofer, shalom menas litvar, a korea shalom menas litvar, even if it would be a metakein, you'd be patur. Because if, according to Rabbi Shimon, we derive from Mishkan not only the tzuras hamalacha, but we also derive the kavanas hamalacha, the tachlis hamalacha. Here, he doesn't have any tachlis hamalacha because it's not almanas litvar. So even if you'll solve the problem of makalkel and you'll convince yourself that this kriya is a constructive kriya, it has an element of tikkun in it, you would still be patur, at least according to Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon introduces in the equation to Mishkan what was the tachlis for which the malacha was done in Mishkan. And that's going to define the malacha. And if your tachlis is not almanas litvar, that's not the kriya of the Mishkan. In our sugya here in Ksubis, Itzrich Taima the Akira Tzorach HaNocha, Rav Shimon, because if you don't introduce Akira Tzorach HaNocha, then what you're left with is Meleches Korea, and according to Rav Shimon, in the Meleches Korea, since the Shalom and Aslitvar, he's not involved in Avera of Meleches Korea, therefore you'd have to pay for the damages. There's no Kimleim and Rabbimine. And therefore, the Gemara is compelled to introduce the principle of Meleches Hotzah, namely Akira Litzorach Hotzah. Now here's where he drops the bomb. This is the last line in this paragraph. Avol Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Meleches Korea would be Chayav, even if it's Shalom and As Litvar. And why is that? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Guf is Chayav, and all we're going to derive from Mishkan is not the Tachlis in the Malacha, but rather the Tzuras HaMalacha. If he's doing a Tzuras HaMalacha of Kriya, then according to Rav Shimon, he would be Chayav. Again, there's another reason he's going to be Rav Yehuda. There's going to be another reason why he's Potter, and that's because of Mekalkel. Fine, but now we're holding like Rashi, and Rashi holds that Mekalkel is within the parameters of Kimlei V'Ramini, just like Shogeg. So based on that analogy of Rashi between a Malacha b'Mekalkel and a Malacha b'Shogeg, in both cases we're applying Kimlei V'Ramini, then we don't need the principle like Kira Tzarech Hanocha, because we're holding now like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Korea Shalom and As Litvar is a p'tur of Mekalkel. So when he rips his friend Shirayim, it comes under what? Mekalkel. Mekalkel is enough to engender a p'tur tashlumin under the din of Kimlei V'Ramini. That's what Rashi says in Masechta Shabbos Tafayim Gimel. I'm sorry, scratch that. In Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Hey. O Mimela, if we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Kriya here is Potter only b'Toras Mekalkel, then forget about Akira Tzorech Hanocha. Kimlei V'Ramini is just going to be inherent in the Kriya itself, because it's a Meleches Korea. And he's not going to introduce the fact that he's Shalom and As Litvar in order to upset or undermine the Tzuras HaMalacha, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't do that. He learns the Tzuras HaMalacha just an external objective Maisa. Is Memela comes out a Gevaldige Chiddush here, that this whole sugi that we're learning is predicated on Reb Shimon about Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, and that's Rashi who says that in according to Reb Shimon, a Tofer Shalom and As, I'm sorry, again I made the same mistake, yeah. At least I'm consistent, a Kriya Shalom and As Litvar is a chisaron in Mishkan, meaning it doesn't have a tzuras hamalacha, therefore it could never possibly generate kimlei v'ramine, and therefore the Gemara has to come on to akilu tzarech hanocha. But the chiddush here of the Mishkan of Saroim is that if you go with Rabbi Yehuda's shita, then you have a p'tur not of lo having malacha klal of Mishkan, but rather a p'tur of a kalkel, and hence we would apply the principle of kimlei v'ramine. Why you put in the case of Shirayim? Because of Akiru Litzorach Hanoch. Yeah, now I got the message.
Going back to tearing the wax paper, whatever it is that the cereal is in.
Oh, okay.
You're tearing that. That is not a mitzvah shein tzricha l'gufa. It's not mekalkel. What it is, it's a malach shein b'maisa. Because what you're doing is you're producing a vessel that's going to hold the cereal and is usable, but it happens to be mainly. It doesn't happen because you did anything.
Okay. So maybe you want to be mekel even if it doesn't rip into shreds.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Okay, I didn't mean to go into the sugya there of ripping. I was just giving it l'saber to ozen.
Right.
Now, Rabosai, I'd like you to turn to page Kufchav Beis. Do you have those pages? If not, I think I have copies here. Now, Rabosai, let's just refresh our memories about Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Rav Nechunya ben Akana equates kares with Misa, Shabbos, well, let's say Yom Kippur with Shabbos, in applying Kimlei V'Ramini. And Abaye faces the following question: how does Rav Nechunya ben Akana know, from whence does he derive the conclusion that Kimlei V'Ramini applies even in a case of kares? And the answer to that question is the word ason. And Abaye says that in order to understand ason in the parish of Kimlei V'Ramini, we must stretch our arm out to the ason in the parasha of Yaakov, Yehuda, Binyamin, of whether or not to send, whether or not Yaakov Avinu would agree to send Binyamin down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov says, Pen Yikra'enu Ason. And that Ason is Bidei Shamayim. So too, in the parasha of Kimlev D'Ravimineh, when the Torah says, V'lo Yason Anoshi Anesh, it's referring to an Ason Bidei Shamayim, like Koris. If Lo Yason, let's say this woman survives the blow, then Anoshi Anesh, then he has to pay. The Nogef Ish has to pay for the Mev Lodos. But if Ason, if there is an Ason, if heaven forbid she dies, then Anoshi Anesh. Then Lo Yanesh. Then he doesn't pay damages. What Ason would remove the Chiyuv damages for the Mev Lodos? Says Abai, it would be the same Ason as Binyamin, when Yaakov Avinu is inhibited about sending Binyamin, and that Ason is an Ason Bidei Shamayim. Good? That's the Gemara on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph. Yosef, you look like you're about to ask me some question. No? Okay. Now, the Gemara quotes Rav Ada Bar Ava. His objection to Abaye is that why should we assume that Yaakov Avinu is only concerned with an Ason Bidei Shamayim? Maybe Yaakov Avinu is really concerned about Ason Bidei Adam. Like, for example, Ganve. Let's say that would be a simple classic case of an Ason Bidei Adam. That maybe the attackers would come and Binyamin is now outside of the insulated environment of his house and they might do harm to Binyamin. Maybe that's Yaakov Avinu's concern. In fact, why should Yaakov be concerned about Bidei Shamayim? Binyamin is protected by divine providence. There's no reason why there should be any difference between going out to the road and staying home as far as Bidei Shamayim is concerned. I mean, Chas Shom, if it was written in the in the books up on Rosh Hashanah, it's inscribed in the books that something should happen. It's going to happen whether he's in the house or he's not in the house. So that's the Gemara's kasha here. How does Abaye know? Did I miss something?
No, I'm saying during his baderech, it says b'tlimud Torah. So.
Oh, maybe he's worried about Talmud Torah. Okay, fine. But if we leave Talmud Torah out, let's leave that for Chag HaShavuos, then what's happening here in Rav Ada Bar Ava's frame of reference is that the word Ason means Ason Bidei Adam. It doesn't mean Ason Bidei Shamayim. So then the Gemara rejects Rav Ada Bar Ava and says, no, Yaakov Avinu is concerned about everything. He's concerned about a possible Ason Bidei Adam, a possible Ason Bidei Shamayim, but the word Ason includes even Bidei Shamayim. Once the word Ason includes Bidei Shamayim, then Abai says Rav Nechudi ben Akana will apply this Gzeira Shava to the parasha of Kimlei Mirabine, and even an Ason Bidei Shamayim is included in the Pasuk Lo Yeh Ason Onosh Yeh Onosh. That's more or less the sugya. Now, here on page Kuf Chaf Beis, he wants to understand the Shak Levitaria. The Makshan, that's Rav Ada Bar Ava, says maybe Yaakov Avinu is only concerned about an Ason Bidei Adam. And the Gemara says, no, Yaakov Avinu is concerned even about an Ason Bidei Shamayim. So like flip a coin over here. What is Yaakov concerned about? What's the Shakla Vitaria? So he says the following. That if you read the Pasuk carefully, I'll read it out loud. It says, Vayomer. Now it's after the brothers approach Yaakov and asking for permission to bring down Binyamin to Mitzrayim. Vayomer. Lo yered b'ni machem ki achiv meis. So the introduction here to this parasha of Yaakov's inhibition, his fear of the Karo Ason, is a twofold introduction. Number one, Ki Achiv Meis, who's that? Yosef. And number two, Hu Levado. What does it mean, Levado? Why is he Levado? He has another 10 brothers. Hu Levado Nisha Le'imo. So Rachel is gone. Yosef is gone. Now, according to He's quoting here the Chasam Sofer. We have here a kind of chazaka. Why? If Binyamin's mother died when she went out by Derech, if Yosef died because that's how Yaakov thought, because he went out by Derech, that itself is going to create a kind of chazaka. Now this is called chazaka shel trei zimni. That's a sugya in the Masechet Yevamos. Do we consider, let's put it this way, do we anticipate a third time creating a pattern based on the pattern of two times? In other words, if something happened not once but twice, do we already see a pattern and therefore we have to worry about it happening a third time? So the Makshan, who's Rav Adav Arava, he says the following, that apparently Yaakov Avinu is worried about a repetition of what happened in the past. Mm-hmm. Now let's think about the death of Yosef. Hare Yosef al yidei Aryeh mes. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu declares Tarov Taraf Yosef. If Tarov Taraf Yosef, then we're not talking about a normal situation. Just 1 second, maybe I got this wrong. So let me get the mathematics. Second. Yosef died al yidei Aryeh v'ganvei. Yosef died al yidei Aryeh v'ganvei. So that's called bidei Adam. Just think. How do you know? I'm just going over Rav Adav Barava's logic here. How do you know that the word asah that Yaakov's afraid about is bidei shamayim dilma aryeh v'ganvei, which is bidei adam? So he's saying, I'm trying to understand the Chasam Sofer, that the Makshan Rav Adav was of the opinion that Tarov Taraf Yosef, which is called Aryeh, and therefore it would be considered Midei Adam. Just 1 second, what does that mean? It's considered Midei Adam. I understand Gandhi, but here we're talking about Aryeh. Let's just see. What is Aryeh? Oh, I understand. Okay, I'm sorry. I was missing one piece of the puzzle. When you go somewhere where there are lions, then you've taken your life into your own hands. Right? The Gemara says, in the name of Rav Adav Arava, that Aryeh v'ganvei is bidei Adam. So Bishlam, I understand that Ganvei is bidei Adam. Correct? But why is Aryeh called bidei Adam? So the answer is that the word, the phrase bidei Adam, doesn't necessarily mean literally that it was a human intervention. What bidei Adam means is that you're responsible for bringing about your own death. You were negligent in your protection of yourself. That means there's certain places you just don't go. Like I remember, I was once in Cape Town in South Africa. So they told me it's a safe city as long as you play by the rules. That you go where you're not supposed to go. You know what I mean? I mean, to some extent, you can apply that here to Yerushalayim too. There are places where you shouldn't be going in Yerushalayim because of the dangers there, right? Well, so Aryeh v'ganvei is a phrase, is a concept that refers to human negligence. You shouldn't have been there. That's a dangerous derech. So therefore, Rav Adav Bar Ava is raising the following objection. Yaakov Avinu's fear based on Ki Achiv Meis is a fear of going in a place where you know there won't be enough protection, where you shouldn't go, so to speak. And therefore, there's no proof that Ason in this context is a reference videi to Beis Shammai. Oh, wait, just 1 second. Says the Chasam Sofer, here's where we're going to introduce, in order to explain the answer to the Gemara, the concept of Chazok. Not only did Yosef die, but who else died? Rachel died. Rachel died at childbirth. That's called Bidei Shamayim. There's nothing you can do to prevent that. Again, today maybe we have a modern medical thing, but that's called Bidei Shamayim. Says that some so fair. The Gemara rejects Rav Adu Bar Ava because Yaakov Avinu's claim of Ason and his fear is based on not just the death of Yosef, but also the death of Rachel. Va'Rachel Mesa al Yedei Mikra Shamayim V'yim Kein al Kol Mili Azar. So again, the intimation here when he mentions Hu Levado is the death of Rachel. And the Tarzan here to defend Abaye says that's a critical element in the equation. If the fear of Yaakov was only exclusively based on Ki Tarov Taraf Yosef, that would be considered like Aryeh, which the Gemara classifies as Bidei Onam. And Rav Adar Bar Av would be right in his objection to Abaye's understanding of the word Ason. But since the Torah adds that Yaakov was afraid not only as a result of Yosef, but because of a continuous pattern in this family, which includes the death of Rachel, then the word Ason includes even an Ason Bidei Shamayim. That's the Chasam Sofer. Now, I would support Rav Adar Bar Av in this case. I'm going to vote in favor of Ada against Abaye. Why? Because eventually, ultimately, Yaakov agreed to send Binyamin down. Why is that?
Because of the...
Right? Can you quote the pasuk for me? Anochi
Arvenemi Avi Tevakshena.
Tevakshena. The Arvus of Binyamin, of Yehuda. Yeah. Now, Arvus makes sense in a case of an Ason Bidei Adam. I can be more careful about not going down the wrong alleyways, you know, where there are ganovim and arayos, right? Arayot, with an aleph, right? I mean, you should be careful even about arayot with an ayin too when you choose where you're going, right? But in this case, we're talking about a lion. So therefore, if Yaakov Avinu was calmed down and eventually gave his consent to send down Binyamin, because of the arvus of Yehuda, then it makes sense that we're talking about Bidei Adam. If we're talking Bidei Shamayim, there's nothing that Yehuda can do to add to offset the Ason Bidei Shamayim. So there are two logical arguments that I think would support Rav Adar Bar Av, that Yaakov Avinu's concern was Bidei Adam and not Bidei Shamayim. First of all, the argument would be, why should Yaakov be concerned if he lets Binyamin go down because of Bidei Shamayim? I call Bidei Shamayim means that God will protect you if you're meant to be protected. Secondly, why would Yaakov Avinu have been consoled by Yehuda's commitment, by his arvus? Yehuda has no control over Bidei Shamayim. What is he going to do? Nothing. So I think that the final answer to the Gemara is that even within Bidei Shamayim, there are different levels. If a person does something that exposes himself to danger, even though that danger is Bidei Shamayim, and in a sense he increases the statistical possibility or probability of the Bidei Shamayim happening. So let's say, for example, there are places on the earth where earthquakes are very common. Can anybody help me with that? Or do we have to Google that?
California.
Yeah, there are earthquakes. Well, California is a gigantic state. Are there certain particular areas or the whole state of California?
There's San Andreas Fault.
Yeah. Okay, say it again, San Andreas?
San Andreas.
Saint, like a saint? Yeah. Saint Andreas? Is that how you say it?
San Andreas.
That's what I thought I said originally. But anyway, San Andreas. So if a person is worried about Bidei Shamayim, I mean, an earthquake is Bidei Shamayim, but if you go to places like San Andreas where there are a lot of earthquakes, you follow my point?
Yeah.
So tsunamis, I don't know, you have to Google tsunamis and see. But let's assume that there's certain places which are more dangerous than others. You know, if they tell you that a certain Amazonian forest is mosquito-ridden, and some of these mosquitoes carry diseases like malaria, and you go down into such a valley, you know, again, mosquitoes might be Bidei Shamayim, but not if you expose yourself. So my point only is that that Yaakov's cheshbon was, as long as Binyamin is cooped up in the house, there's a certain natural protection even against Bidei Shamayim. Once we take him out of the house, then you're already exposing him, you know, to a greater statistical possibility of an Ason Bidei Shamayim. That would answer, I think, both of our questions. Number one, why don't we just say that that Hakol Bidei Shamayim, and Yaakov Avinu would say that if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. You know what I mean by that? Nein, it's meant to be if you expose yourself to those elements of nature that could do you under. But if you remain inside the house, that's okay. And number two, that explains how Yaakov Avinu was able to calm. How Yehuda was able to calm down Yaakov, and he's saying, look, I'm going to give an extra mode of protection. I'm going to avoid any place which might have an increased statistical probability of an Ason, whether it's Ason Bidei Shamayim or Ason Bidei Olam. So Yaakov is concerned about an Ason Bidei Shamayim. The Sam Sofer here is helpful because of Rachel's death. And Yehuda calms him down, and he says, you know what? We're taking Binyamin, but he's going to be under our surveillance 24/7. You know, we'll wear foot cuffs. You know, our surveillance. I think he was talking on behalf of the brothers as well. No, it was only Yehuda. Okay,
I'm just troubled by one word in the pasuk.
Yeah.
The pasuk says, "Vayomer lo yered bini imachem." Why is that word imachem? Read the pasuk without imachem. Vayomer lo yered bini. Ki achiv meit v'hu levado nishar, etc. Imachem refers to the brothers.
I would say that maybe dire nevua yotze mipiv, meaning sometimes it's like a ruach hakodesh. Imachem, you guys who brought about the death of my you know.
And therefore,
I don't think that Yaakov suspected the brothers. I don't know. You know, you may find Chazal that indicate yes, but imachem is, you know, am I going to trust you guys? I mean, look what you did to his brother. You know, what are you going to do to him?
Where is Shimon?
Shimon is already, I think, isn't he locked up at this point?
Yeah. Exactly. So he also, why don't they use Shimon as an example of one, it's not Shimon name.
I think
it's,
because it's the...
Yosef and Anna, the Shimon and the...
Right. And Rachel.
We're
looking for the difference between 2 and 3.
Oh, I see what you're saying, meaning according to some sofer that we want to get a chazakah, why doesn't Yaakov include Shimon? Let me think about that. If you want to get a chazakah,
he wasn't dead.
Second, Shimon.
He says he met him.
Yeah, but I think he knew he was only in jail.
Shimon.
He has no proof.
It's like he's dead.
That Yaakov Avinu would have to be concerned about that. Do we have some sofa? I wouldn't be surprised if he asks this question. Are we just getting a little bit of a digest? You know, it's like the Reader's Digest of the some sofa. All right. Now he says the following. You know what? The next paragraph might actually address your question, Yosef. I'm just thinking out loud. He says the following, that there is a chazok of Tlosa Zibni. If you go back to Parshas Miketz, in which the Pasuk mentions Shimon. But I don't know if he's what does it mean by tlusas in the Yaakov is an osi shikalta. Is he referring to Rachel here over Chulin? Yalfina mina dischazik tlusas zimni. All right, you have to go into Masechta Chulin and open up that Gemara. Okay, so that's something that that we want to take under advisement. Now let's fast forward to page Kuf Chaf Gimel, which I think we started but we never finished, and we're looking at Kuf He. Correct? We started this, but I don't think we finished it. This is going to be the Hafla. The Hafla says that according to Abaye, there's no source for the following conclusion, that if a person does a double whammy, a double avera, and he's chayav both kares and malkos, that he's going to be potter from malkos. We know that in the case of, let's say, malkos and mamon, then we're going to apply the principle of kim lev derav mineh. And that's based on a pasuk lo yeh ason. Correct? But let's say he had a combination of Misa and Malkus, or Kares and Malkus. So what would be the basis for knocking off Malkus? According to Abaye, the source for knocking off Tashlumei Mamon in Kimlei Verinamine is the parasha of Ason, and that's the parasha of Dmei Vlados. When it comes to knocking off Mamon in the case of Malkus, that's based on a different pasuk, namely Kidei Rishasa. Now what happens in a case where he incurs both a Chiyuv Kares and a Chiyuv Malkus? Would the Kares be enough to knock off Malkus? We only know that Kares is enough to knock off Mamon, but we don't know that it's enough to knock off Malkus. Therefore, the Hafla comes to the conclusion that according to Abaye's understanding of Nechunya ben Akana, if at the same time he violated a Chiyuv Kares, he violated a Chiyuv Malkus, then Enoch Hinami, he would get Malkus. And Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana would admit that as far as Malkus is concerned, we don't apply the principle of Bidei Shamayim, of Kares, that Kares is enough to knock off another Chiyuv. Because the entire source for knocking off another Chiyuv in the case of Malkus is going to be Kidei Rishaso. And in Kidei Rishaso, there's nothing about Kares in the Pasuk. So again, if Abai breaks new ground, that's from the Chuli Ben Akona, as far as Kares Bidei Shamayim because of Ason, that's only to knock off a Chiyuv Mamon. However, with regard to knocking off a Chiyuv Malkus, we have to invoke the Pasuk of Kidei Rishaso. Nowhere in the Pasuk of Kidei Rishaso does the Torah indicate that if the punishment is Bidei Shamayim like Kares, it would knock off the Chiyuv Malkus. So let's read it inside. He says, Matzinu lemeimar de'ika beinayu misa u'malkus, o Kares u'malkus. So I'm going to try to put my eggs into Kares u'Malkus, because again, I want to understand Abaye, and Abaye wants to understand Rav Nechunya ben Akana, so we're talking about Kares. The Gemara says that we need two different limudim, two different yalfusas. This is sugya later on in the perek, on Daf Lamed Zayin. We need Ason, and we need Kidei Rishaso. The case of Ason is going to teach us Misa u'Mamon. And according to Abaye, it means even Kares u'Mamon. But we need another pasuk for knocking off Malkus, namely Misa u'Malkus. And for that, we're going to need the pasuk Kidei Rishaso. Ulefi zeh la'Abaye, I'm just skipping a little. The yolif chayve krisus being zeh reshavet de'asom li'asom nemer gavi mamon. So the zeh reshavet to upgrade Kares to the status of Ason, meaning for Kimlei the Rabbi, is only vis-a-vis Mamon and Tmei Vlados. But Ein Lanu, we don't have a source. Well, we have a source for Misa and Malkus, but that's Kidei Rishaso. But what about Kares? Is Ein Lanu Shetei Misa Bidei Shamayim, which is an Onish Bidei Shamayim, Poteres Ela Mamon in the parish of Ason? But now we have a new parasha to knock off Malkus, and that's called Kidei Rishaso, but we don't know that Kares could knock off Malkus. We know that Misa Bidei Adam, Mrs. Bezdin, could knock off Malkus. That's based on Kedei Rishaso, that limits the hands of Bezdin, that they cannot implement two punishments. But we don't have a source for a Mrs. Bidei Shamayim, that would knock off the punishment of Malkus. That's not true according to Rava. Rava has a whole different interpretation of Rav Nachum ben Akana, in which he says that Misa Shali Kim Misa Shalachem, which means that Kares is a replacement for Misa. Well, if Kares is a replacement for Misa, according to Rava, then any din that applies to Misa applies to Kares. And if Misa patters you up for Malkus, then Kares would pat you up. But according to Abaye, we have no source that a Kares situation of a Bidei Shamayim could knock off a Chiyuv Malkus.
I thought there was a hekesh between Malkus and
there is no hekesh. There's only a hekesh as far as Misa and Malkus is concerned. That just like Misa knocks off a Chiyuv Mamon, it can knock off a Chiyuv Malkus. But we don't know anything about Kares. In order to establish a conclusion about Kares, that Kares like Misa would knock off a Chiyuv Malkus, we would need a source for that. The only source for Kares in Kimlei Miramine is Ason. And that parish is limited to Chiyuv Mamon. The Gemara says we need a new parish of Kimlei Miramine to knock off Malkus. And that parish applies in the case of Misa. And therefore, Bezdin is not going to beat this guy up with 39 lashes before they put him to death. But we don't know that in the case of Kares, which is a Misa Bidei Shamayim situation, that we would therefore eliminate his Chiyuv Malkus. That we have no source for. Hence, says the Hafla, the Gemara could have come up with a brilliant nafkamina between Abaye and Rava. However, if you fast forward to number Kufvav, he invokes a sugya of Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan in Chulin about what's called Chayvin Misa Shogigim. Now, we touched earlier on this issue of Chayvin Misa Shogigim when we quoted Rashi and Baba Kama. Rashi and Baba Kama, if you recall, postulates an equation between Mekalkel on Shabbos and Chayvin Misa Shogigim. In both cases, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlei Miramine. And the reason for that is because we look at the Avera per se and not the Onesh. So that in Shogig and in Mekalkel there's no Onesh, but there's an Avera of a Chiyuv Misa, and that's enough to generate Kimlei Miramine. Now, although we assumed as a Dover Pashut, as a given, that Chayvi Misa Shogigin, Paturmi Malkus, that's not really true at all. That's not a simple assumption. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan, in Masechtim Chulin, maintains that Chayvi Misa Shogigin, Chayovin B'Malkus. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Kedei Rishoso, Tepatio from Malkus, only applies when Bezdin is implementing a greater punishment. Namely, Misa. Now, the hands of Bezdin are tied, and they have to implement Misa, but they cannot implement Malkus. So the other Avera gets off scot-free. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if Kimlei B'Dramari addresses Bezdin, and ties the hands of Bezdin, that it can only implement one punishment and not two, that would not apply in the case of Chayvin Misa Shogigim. Hence, Chayvin Misa Shogigim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Chayovin B'Malkus. So a person violated two averis. One generates Misa, the other generates Malkus. If the first one is not punishable by Bezdin, because it was a Shogeg, there was no Asra, then we will punish him with the second punishment. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan looks at the Befa'al. Is Bezdin implementing two punishments? Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish holds a Chayvin Misa Shogigim Paturim Malkus because he doesn't look at the befall. He's not interested in whether Bezdin is going to implement two punishments. He's interested in the nature of the Avera. And if the Avera is an Avera that generates Misa, even if in this case he will not suffer that punishment because he was a Shogig, nevertheless that Avera's Misa knocks off the Chiyuv Malkus and therefore he's parted from Malkus.
So Rashi is with Reish Lakish, as opposed to Yochanan.
Rashi about what? About
Rashi said.
Oh, yeah. Rashi is reflecting the Shita of Reish Lakish. That's correct. Because Rashi equates Mekalkel with Chayvin Misa Shogigim. Now, you might ask, why do we pass like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan? That has to do with the Sugya of Chizkiah. We didn't get to that sugya, but that's did you ever hear of Tanit Bechizkiah? That's a famous sugya of Chayim Misa Shogigin. And Tanit Bechizkiah agrees with Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, we don't have to know all those details now. We'll get to that. It's a major sugya in Perikei Linaris. Now, why is this issue of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have direct bearing on the flaw that we started with? The flaw wants to assume that according to Rava, in a case of Chayve Krisus and Malkus, according to Rava, we would apply the principle of Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana Misa Shalik. What's the language again? That Misa. Where is it? Yeah, that Kari Shalik and Misa Shalachem, right? So we're going to apply the Kari Shalik and Misa Shalachem, and Kari is a, you know, so to speak, steps into the shoes of Misa, and therefore he's not going to get Malkus in a case where he incurred a Chi of Kari simultaneous with a Chi of Malkus. That's no longer the case. Why? Because if we're going to accept the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, that the din of Kedei Rishasa to knock off Malkus is only with a Misa Befal, that means a Mezid as opposed to a Shogeg, then in a case of Chayve Krisus, where there's no Befal at all, it's all Bidei Shemayim, there's nothing to knock off the Chi of Malkus. So that this whole Hafla, the whole thesis of Hafla, creating as it were a Nafkamina between Abai and Rava, is all predicated on the assumption of Reish Lakish, namely, that we don't need an onesh befoal, that the halacha of kedei rishoso is not addressing bezdin, it's just simply halacha in the nature of the avera. And if we're looking at the nature of the avera, then Rava equates misa bidei shamayim with misa bidei adam, right? Misa kari shalik and misa shalachem. Hence, according to Rava, there would be a p'tur of Malkus over here. But that's only if you assume like Reish Lakish, if you assume like Rabbi Yochanan, that it all depends upon the befoal, that Bezdin is being addressed by the Torah and saying, you know what, you're for one Avera, you get one onus. You can only implement one onus, not more. Oh, if that be the case, if that's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, then even Rava would agree in the case of Karis and Malkus that you'd get Malkus, there would be no Ptur of Kimleb the Rabbinine, because I should be more precise about it, there would be no Ptur of Kedei Rishoso, because Bezdin doesn't get involved in the Chi of Karis. It's not a punishment in Bez.
They have that pasuk Nikolah beyad Hashem beyad Amalek Olam. That is talking about that he prefers Mis Karis to Misa Bidei Adam, because Kadosh Baruch Hu always forgive you, but the halakha has to be followed no matter what.
Right. So I'm just wondering how that
Karis makes it less
trying to figure out
Misa.
Yeah. Nobody denies that Karis is less than Misa's Bezdin. I mean, Misa's Bezdin means he's gonna immediately be taken out to the Beis Haskil.
Right. Right.
Karis, on the other hand, is, let's say, before the age of 50 or whatever whatever the shittas are.
But then why does it say Karishali Kamita Shalachem? It's like you can take each one to the bank.
I'll tell you why. That's a different concept. Kari Shalik Kibisa Shalem means the following. That Bezdin were Machayef and Misa. In other words, he actually had all the ingredients and all the conditions were met, and he's Chayef Misa. But for one reason or another, Bezdin didn't execute him. They didn't implement the Chayef Misa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, I'll take care of it. I'm going to implement the Chi of Misa. Now, you could ask me, when is that going to happen? And could you do tshuva? I don't know. But the way Rava learns it is that since there was a Chi of Misa, then Karis comes to substitute for the Chi of Misa.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a look at Kuf Ches. This is on page Kuf Chaf He. All the Chachamim.
He's
nobody accepted Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana. The whole sugi that we're learning is all theoretical. It's Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana. And it's a great sugi. It's one of the most profound sugis in Perikei Linaris, but it's not La Loch. In fact, our Mishnah is against Rav Nachman Yemen Hakohen. Now, our Mishnah says that the Ba'al Achoso pays knas. According to Rav Nachman Yemen Hakohen, he would not pay knas because he's chayv koris. Okay. So finally, what, again, leaving the Aflah on the side for the moment, what nafkamina does the Gemara itself come up with between Abaye and Rava? And that's the case of Misa Bidei Shamayim. Now, Misa Bidei Shamayim is definitely a punishment. It definitely comes under Ason, but nevertheless, it doesn't come under Rava's principle of Kares Shali Kemisa Shalem. Why? Because Misa B'dei Shamayim means, again, I'm oversimplifying it, but before the age of 60. Kares means before the age of 50. So when the Torah declares Kares Shali Kemisa Shalachem, that's only Kares. That doesn't apply to Misa B'dei Shamayim. So what's the case of Misa B'dei Shamayim? Zar Shalachal Truma. Ika B'nai Zar Shalachal Truma. Labaye potur, because again the Torah says that a punishment bidei shamayim knocks, that's called ason, knocks off a chiyuv mamon. It doesn't matter if the ason is this ason or that ason, whether it's misa bidei shamayim or whether it's kares bidei shamayim. But according to Rava, the Torah went out of its way to equate kares with misa, because kares is very severe. Kares means he'll die before the age of 50. Has anyone heard of anybody who made a birthday party at the age of 50? I mean, from the Gedolei Yisrael? No, I only know of 60. Your brother made a party, so he's probably one of the Gedolei Yisrael because he's Yotz Bechal Kares. So now he has another Chiddush of the Haflah. The Haflah asks the following question. The case of Zar Shachal Truma is a case where he owes payment to a Kohen. And he's not going to pay the Kohen because, according to Abai at least, he's going to be punished with Misa Bidei Shamayim. Now, the assumption or the implication, therefore, is that who's holding on to this Truma that was eaten by a Zar? The Kohen. And therefore the Tzar would have to pay, or let's say according to Rav, he actually pays, according to Abai, if not for Kimlein Ramine of Rav Nachman Yemen Hakohen, he would be paying the Kohen.
When you're talking about the ate the Truma after, it was already
given to the Kohen.
So it's not a matter
Frekta
of
Frekta Flaw,
the whole tribe of Kohen.
Exactly. Frekta Flaw, why did the Gemara have to give us a case of Kvar Zocha B'Kohen? Why couldn't the Gemara simply be given a case where he was mafresh the truma, and then the truma was eaten before it was delivered to the Kohen? And there too, even if it hasn't been given to the Kohen, just one second, let me read it again. Amaylo mukmini le besar shachal truma shehifrish v'lo nosan adayim l'kohen debazelo shach lomar midaagbe koneh. Oh, so let's go slowly. The Gemara is going to raise the following objection. Even according to Abaye, he has to reimburse the Kohen for the Truma that he ate, this Zar. Why? Because Mida'agbe, once he lifted up the Truma, he already incurs the Chiyuv Tashlumin, even before he eats the Truma. So the Haflah says that I can avoid the Gemara's problem. Why? Because if the Tzar eats the Truma before it was delivered to the Kohen, then you don't have the principle of Mida Agbe Kanye. For this we have to learn a Raivin in Hilchos Shkogos. Let's just, to make life easy for ourselves, because I'm trying to get to a certain goal here, let's accept this premise as axiomatic. And that is that we don't apply the principle of Mida Agbe Kanye in a case of Hafrosha without Nesina. We don't know why.
Who has it at this moment?
At this moment, the Yisrael is holding on to his Truma.
So he already had it. It's already.
And then he eats the Truma.
He's a Zakbe Kanye. It was his.
No, he's Mafresh.
He's Mafresh, and then he What Mida Ad Beikanya means in a case where he hadn't given it to the Kohen yet. It's not in anyone else's rishus.
Right, so let's assume it belongs to the Kohanim, right? And the only time he would have to pay the Kohanim, if there's no Mida Ad Beikanya, is when he eats the Truma. Eating the Truma is machayev him to what's called to pay Tashlumei Truma. He has to replace the Truma. But since at the moment that he ate the truma, he incurs a chiyuv kares, right. So therefore Rabbi Nachunya ben Hakana will say he doesn't have to pay tashlumei truma. Right. The Gemara says that the chiyuv to pay the kohen predates, preempts before the achila. That's only in a case where he delivered the truma to the kohen. Yes. Then we say that when he lifts it up, he already is chayv to pay the kohen because he has no intention of giving the truma to the kohen. His intention was to eat the truma. Right. Says the flaw. We can circumvent this whole problem. There's no Ad Beikanya before the Truma is delivered to the Kohen. Yes. Why is that so? If you want, while I'm speaking, take out the Rambam and the Raivin in Hilchas Me'ilah and see if you can figure that out. I give you a lot of credit if you can figure that out. Says the Aflah that if the Truma has not been delivered yet to the Kohen, then there's no chiyuv to pay shevet kahuna. In other words, the kohen has not achieved his own private bailus. The bailus is a common bailus of the entire shevet kahuna. That's called, in the language of the afla, which again is a sugya mesekta gittin, malon she'en lo tovim. No one could come, and apparently even if all the Kohanim would come with one Shtar Ashah, you know, to be Tovea the Truma, they couldn't do so because no Joe Kohen, so to speak, has a bailus over this Truma. But let's read it inside. The Tiritz HaFlo, the Ochel Truma Shalom Zochabo Kohen Eino Chayv Min Adin L'Shalim. The dummy lahadi amina bechulin hamazik matonis kahuna osha achlon. This is before it was delivered to the kohen. Potami l'shalim ulechad lishna hatam mishum davili moment shein lo tovin. Is hachinami truma as one example of matonis kahuna before it's delivered to the kohen. Ami moment shein lo tovin matot l'shalim. Now, there's another din of replacing the truma in a case of truma that hasn't been delivered to the kohen, and that's latzeis ba yedei shamayim. And he quotes a Tosfos in Chulin that if you damaged or ate the truma before it was delivered to the kohen, although no one could be tovea you in Bezdin, because no single kohen has ownership over the truma, but nevertheless, the bol atzeis yedei shamayim, he should replace the truma. He says the following: the lahai lishna di elo tovim b'din shamayim achayev. If you go with the opinion that the reason why a Yisrael who destroys truma before it was delivered to the kohen doesn't have to pay is because it's mamon shein lo tovim, that's only bidei adam, so it's not enforceable in a court of law, but nevertheless b'bali dei shamayim he would have to pay. Hilkach lekel u'kta b'truma shelo zocha b'kav dekai gavna fila abaye chayav. Even according to Abaye, he would be chayav. Wow, this is the exact opposite of what we were saying before. We said according to Abaye, if the Kohen comes to be Tovea's Truma, then he's Potur because he incurs a Chiyuv Misa. And then the Gemara is going to ask, but Hagbah came first. But before that Kasha, the Gemara says according to Abaye, he'll be Potur. But if he ate the Truma before it was delivered to the Kohen, then paradoxically, Abaye is going to say that he's Chayav. Why is he Chayav? It's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. There's no particular Kohen who could be Tovea him. But the answer is that we're talking about B'bol Atzei De Shamayim. He has a Chiyuv De Shamayim. And that Chiyuv is going to apply here even though he incurs a Chiyuv Kares. And why is that? because Kimle the Rabbinei Eino Poter Chiyu Bidei Shamayim. This is pretty way out, this Hafla. The Hafla is telling me that the reason why the Gemara had to insist that the Truma was already delivered to the Kohen is because otherwise we couldn't get a Ptur of Kimle the Rabbinei, because the Ptur of Kimle the Rabbinei only applies to a Chiyuv Bidei Adam, but not to a Chiyuv Bidei Shamayim. In this case, where the Truma has not been delivered, and the Tzar ate the Truma, he would have to replace the Truma because he's Baal Latzei Sidei Shamayim. Again, we couldn't enforce it in the court of law, but he's Chayav Bidin Shamayim. If he's Chayav Bidin Shamayim, then Kimle B'de Rabbinei is not going to apply, because Kimle B'de Rabbinei only applies to a Chiyuv Bezdin and not to a Chiyuv Bidei Shamayim. I mean, basically, that flaw is turning everything upside down, inside out. You and I would have said, well, if he hasn't delivered the Truma, then it's Mamet Shein Lo Tovim, and there's nothing to discuss here. There's no Chiyuv Mamet to even entertain, and hence that wouldn't have been a nafkamina between Abai and Rava, because Abai and Rava are arguing about a case where the Kohen is coming and demanding his Truma, and Kimle B'de Rabbinei is going to party you from paying the, according to Abai, party you from paying the Kohen. But if it's Mamet Shein Lo Tovim, there's no one who's coming to collect his Mama. Comes along that flaw, and he turns it upside down and inside out. And he's saying that there is a chiyuv to pay mamon in the case where he hasn't yet delivered the truma, but that's only a chiyuv bidei shamayim. And guess what? There's no kimle b'de rabbi on chiyuv bidei shamayim. The Gemara could not have quoted the case of truma and biyada by Yisrael, not because there's no toveya and there's no chiyuv mamon, but on the contrary, because there is a chiyuv, exactly. And kimle b'de rabbi doesn't exempt it from the chiyuv. Why? Because the chiyuv here is bidei shamayim, and therefore there's no din of kimle rabbinei. Kimle rabbinei doesn't pat you up on a chiyuv bidei shamayim. How does he know that flaw that kimle rabbinei doesn't pat you up on a chiyuv bidei shamayim? So that's the sugya vesnan zona. Now that sugya has to do with what's called tfisa. What happens if, let's take the case, I'm just giving one case amongst the million cases, of Zorak and the Kara Shirayim Shel Chavero, right? So we said in that case he doesn't have to pay damages. Yeah. What happens if the Baal HaShirayim comes into the house of the Zorak and he grabs his night table, what's the light called that stands on the night table? What's that called? A lamp? You want to call it a lamp? You remember Viceroy? Who remembers Viceroy cigarettes? No? You know what I'm talking about? You guys don't, because probably you weren't addicted to television as a child. If you're addicted to television, it was a breakthrough in media, in television. At that time, Viceroy came up with a commercial. Because Viceroy cigarettes had a coupon on the outside, and they wanted to show you how many gifts you would get for smoking Viceroy cigarettes, because you accumulated all these coupons. No, this doesn't ring a bell. No. So what they did was in the advertisement, they show you this living room, and it's got all sorts of furniture in it, and then they say, well, he doesn't smoke Viceroy cigarettes, and all of a sudden, all his furniture, one by one, disappears because he didn't have the coupons to get these free pieces of furniture. Anyway, that's how they convince you to smoke Viceroy. There were other cigarettes. In my day, like, all the battles about advertising were all about cigarettes. I mean, advertising for cigarettes was like a multi-million dollar industry. Who is the one who had the guy riding on the horse? Oh yeah, Camel. You remember Camel cigarette? You weren't in the television mode. Camel cigarette. They showed you the picture of this cowboy. You know, he's the most good-looking cowboy in the world, and he's riding a horse through the most beautiful valleys, and he's smoking a cigarette, right? So Camel cigarettes. You want to smoke Camel cigarettes, so you'll be this movie star, right? Anyway, so what we're saying here is the following: that you have to replace the truma, even though Yechayev Misa B'dei Shamayim, Yechayev Misa B'dei Shamayim, because according to Abaye, Kimle Rabbi should apply, but it's not going to apply because you have a Chiyuv B'dei Shamayim. Kimle Rabbi does not exempt you from payment of a Chiyuv B'dei Shamayim. All right, now we're going to turn to page Kuf Chav Vav. You have Kuf Chav Vav?
Yes.
All right, see, getting close to Minch, but let's see if we can chap around. The Noda Yehuda has a sugyim psachim called Trumas Chavetz. What happened is that a person who's a czar ate something which has a double whammy to it. Number one, it's truma, and he's a czar. Number two, it happens to be a loaf of bread, which is chametz on Pesach.
And he ate it before Pesach.
No, he ate it on Pesach.
On Pesach.
And he's a shogeg. And the law is that in truma, a czar pays for eating truma, even b'shogeg. That's called keren v'chomesh. The only problem is that this truma that he ate happens to also be chametz. Chametz is valueless. Why? Because it's Yisuri Anah Lav Mamon. So the Gemara Pesachim establishes that in this case, why should the Mishnah establish, it's a Mishnah Pesachim, that Ochel Trumas Chametz Pesach Shogeg V'Shalim Kerem V'Chomesh, what value does the Truma have? This Truma is Chametz. So what does it mean that he has to pay out of pocket to replace Trumas Chametz? It's valueless. So the Gemara answers a new principle in Truma, which is called Lefi. What's it called? Lefi Midah Mishalim. Oh, I had Siyat Nishmai that I remember this. Lefi Midah Mishalim, meaning that the Chiyuv is not to replace the Truma Lefi Damim as an act of Gzela, that you replace the value of the object, but rather Lefi Midah. Lefi Midah means you have to give a volume of Truma, or actually it's Chulin, that can become Truma, and it'll be an exact replacement for the Truma that he ate. So in that sugya in Pesachim, the Tzlach quotes a Pnei Yoshua, or maybe the Tzlach, I'm not sure if he quotes the Pnei Yoshua, because the Tzlach doesn't usually quote the Pnei Yoshua. But anyway, Hiksha Pnei Yoshua, Amaylo Makminin Lei, we're on Kuf Chav Vav here, Bi Ochel Truma, Shaloba Adayin Lidei Kohen. The Truma hasn't yet come to the hands of the Kohen. And if that be the case, there's no violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. Okay, this has to do with a Tana called Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua holds in Pesachim that there's no violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh unless the Truma is owned by an individual. I mean, in this case, the Truma is Chametz, meaning the Chametz is owned by an individual. So if there's a general ownership of all Shevet Kahuna, Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is that you don't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. Correct? Now, if you don't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, then it means that he can hold on to this Chametz until after Pesach, and it has value. So therefore, the Ochel Trumas Chametz in the Mishnah pays Lefi Domin. Why does Gemara assume he can't pay Lefi Domin, he only pays Lefi Mida? The Gemara is assuming that this Truma has no value insofar as it's Chametz. Well, I'll give you a case where the Truma is Truma, and the violation here is a Chiyuv Misa by Zarus, but at the same time, it's Chametz that has value to it. How could it have value to it? The answer is because Rabbi Yeshua holds you don't violate by your Rabbi Matzah if it hasn't yet been given over to the Kohen.
Still, why isn't it Kim
Levi the Rami? Oh, so that's going to be the whole discussion here about Kim Levi the Rami. We'll pick this up from Yitzhak Hashem on Monday. I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shavuos and a wonderful Chag and a Kabbalah Satorah with Simcha. And you should be zocher to learn a lot of Torah next year. But it all depends on, according to at least the Shalom, according to the Din of Chag HaShavuos. Shkoyach, thank you so much. Chag Sameach.